Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
It is time for another Press X to continue. So sit yourself down, grab yourselves a brew, take hold of your controller and get ready to join us for another episode of Collecting Coins, Searching for Extra Lives and Defeating Bosses. This is the only gaming podcast that you need. Whether you're playing on expert level or if you're just an absolute beginner, we have got you covered. My name is Stefan Powell and I'm joined by my partner in crime, the actor, comedian, streamer, Einel Tomlinson.
Nice, thank you. Got all the credentials in there as well.
All in there. It's easier on visuals, isn't it? Because you can flash it up. You've got to see it out loud.
Yeah. Can you put like little like snippets of my work?
Now, we have got some admin to do before we get into it and introduce our guest this week, Einel. Firstly, we have been nominated for an MCV Develop Award. Media Brand of the Year.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Oh, and you know what? It feels even better because it's a summer award. It's an award that happens in the summer. Even better. The sun's out.
Sun's out. We can be there. We can have... I'm assuming... I've not been to this award before, but I'm assuming there's champagne.
Develop is fantastic. I've been to Develop before, the awards. Absolutely. Oh, star-studded. The who's who of gaming is there.
Well, we're now nominated.
And they feed you. They feed you, bro.
Well, come on. They didn't tell me that before. I'd have been way more excited. But no, it's amazing. So we're really pleased to whoever put us up for that. Thank you very much, because we're dead chuffed, aren't we? Also, a bit more admin. We have recently clocked 1 million views on our social stuff, I know.
Hey, listen, that's a double win.
Yeah. Einel's back at home today in his old studio, so he's got all the sound effects out. So expect that. And bits and pieces for that from our guest this week. We've got the presenter, video game player, Marcus Bronzy, for your first appearance on the Respawn Press X. Marcus, why is it taking so long for us to get you on?
I don't know, mate. Listen, that's a question you guys need to decide the answer to when you're having a meeting off air. But I'm glad to be here, man. And congratulations, man. Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Thanks, Matt.
I wanted you here from day one, bro. From day one.
Look at this.
Yeah. That's the only time I'll do that. Congratulations, guys.
We have upped the production values on Press X this week.
Everyone's bringing their own sounds. Go on, Stefan. You're next.
I've got nothing. This is all I've got. This is my, this is my instrument, okay? And I use it. That's all I've got, okay?
That's all you need.
I'm authentic. We're dead chuffed that 1 million people have viewed, commented, liked all of our stuff. So really grateful for everybody that's out there. Everybody's in the Discord. People who are keeping us going. We're loving it. So thank you very much.
It's the prime reason we keep doing it. It's the prime reason. Let's be honest. The prime reason is because the peeps is there and the peeps really enjoy the stuff.
I mean, as much as I like chatting with you, Marcus, you know, if there was no one listening or no one watching our stuff or no one interacting with the Discord, we wouldn't be having this conversation, would we?
Hey, listen. It's a good thing that it's happened. And like I just said, I'm glad to be here. And you know what? I'm so chuffed for you guys. Award nominations flying in from the left. Millions of viewers flying in from the right. I hope to add a good 5 to 10 social views at least
yes,
to that yeah. via this podcast.
That's so, the well, listen,
that sounds like a Hollywood speech if I ever heard of.
Now, Marcus, we're throwing you straight into the deep end, okay? Yeah. Because it is time to start this episode, like we do every week, with an unpopular gaming opinion. And this week, that opinion is yours.
Okay, guys. Now, I've listened to a few of these in the past, but I've not listened to every single episode. So if I step on any toes, I've got option B's and C's for you, yeah?
Oh, okay. He's got many, several choices. Right. Okay,
there's
okay.
a lot of people out here.
All right. Now, start nice and simple, right? I think at this moment in time, indie games are making more groundbreaking production than big studios, right?
Oh,
I've got a few examples of it that have been, and this is over the last few years as well. And I'm not saying we don't get amazing AAA production, but I just feel like when there's a limitation on budget, staff, and resources, we're getting some really interesting angles when it comes to writing, intrigue, gameplay, and all sorts. I love it.
I think, I agree with you, Marcus. I think it's right. The indie scene has always been where I think where people have tried new stuff. But what's interesting now is because there are fewer AAA games being made out there. Because, and we've talked about this before, unless you're making a game that you predict is going to make £100 bazillion in the first week or whatever, companies aren't making them anymore as much as they used to. So you've got really talented, clever people who still want to make games and are finding different ways of doing that. And they end up making indie titles and we keep, you know, sort of pushing the envelope that way.
Yeah. And the appetite is there as well. People keep buying the games.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting because we all know, and I know you guys are going to mention it at some point in the podcast, but there is a big game on the horizon that is something that is unlike any other franchise, any other IP that we've seen in gaming, that we're all talking about it. You know, it's a reference point outside of gaming, right? It's so big. But because of that, I think there is a reaction from bigger production companies, bigger studios, where they're waiting to see when that drops, when that is going to drop. And it means that there's a little bit of a, should we say, people are shying away from pushing forward releases. And I think you're right, there are less big releases out at the moment. And that's just giving this nice little bit of breathing room for indies to come through and just give us something a little bit different, like stuff that's quite charming as well. And also there's an affordability side to it as well. Like we spoke before we press record, you were speaking about prices of gaming, Steph. I don't know if you want to say what you said again.
I think we've talked about it here with Ainelpa. We think GTA could end up costing you £100. There will be a version of GTA. I mean, there are versions of games now that you could pay over £100 for. But I reckon the close to base game for the new GTA will be over £100 or £100-ish. Mario Kart's coming out at £75.
Yeah. I think when Nintendo did that, that just pushed everything up, didn't it? And I think when GTA does drop, or when we see the first £100 game, it's like when there's gonna when the first £10 pint gets served in London, if it hasn't already. Yeah. When I first give over that crisp £10 note, and the bartender looks at me and goes, "Listen, mate, where's the rest?" Then, you know, things have changed forever.
I can remember I moved to London in 2014, right? And so how old was I at the time? I don't know, late 20s. And Jaeger bombers were my big thing, right? On a night out, if everything was getting a little bit flat, I needed a bit of a, you know, a bit of a boost, get the Jaegers in, right, for whoever was there. And I can remember going out in London and going up to the barman. And there were six of us out that night. I was like, I'll have six Jaeger bombs, please, mate. And he was like, £66.
Whoa!
I was 66 quid. And I was too proud to be like, oh my God, that's mental. I thought you meant 16 quid, not 66. And that was 10 years ago.
Yeah, man.
I don't even want to know what it is now.
I don't even want to know.
But Marcus is right, though, especially with these indies, because like this week, Clair Obscur Expedition 33 came out. And that's like a small French studio. Sandfall Interactive, I believe, and I believe it's like 30 odd people made the game, and it's making waves in the industry at the moment. And so it's like yeah, you're right, Marcus, like the indies are, they're making their space.
Yeah, and the scope of that game is incredible for a team of that small, isn't it? What are you playing at the moment, Marcus?
100%. An indie that I played recently, and it's not one of the newer ones, but actually Inel put me onto it, and it is a game that has fantastic writing. It's got really, it's got great production value within the constraints, like I spoke about before. And it is one of the best stories I played. And it's called The Operator. Do you remember playing that, Inel?
Yeah.
I saw Inel playing it for a few seconds and I was like, I need to jump on this game. You basically are an operator for the FDI. right? And as their newest operator, FDI is obviously a play on, you know what that is, FBI.
Yeah.
Use your detective skills. But basically, you are logged into a computer screen and you're terminal. Listening to audio, you're looking at evidence, you're looking at little bits of clips. And if I'm honest, from a production point of view, it's quite well put together. I think it's Bureau 81. I think it is one or two people, you know. I don't think it's a very big team at all.
No.
But it's so well written as you follow this story of a FDI operator who's trying to get to the bottom of what seems like a very simple first day at the office, but obviously the writing takes you in a direction where things just become wild, and you feel like the fact that there's grainy footage, the fact that there's dodgy audio, the fact that people call you and their reception goes, and it's just a really amazing story, really well written.
Like I call it the 24 simulator. Who do you remember Chloe from 24? Jack Bauer would always call up Chloe to get stuff done.
Yeah.
That's what the game is.
You are the person that gets to zoom and enhance. You're that person.
You're the zoom and enhance.
Give me enhance there, please. Give me zoom and enhance. We get to do that. And it puts you under pressure. There's a certain pinch point in the game that I won't spoil that, like, you know, it had me sweating to the point where I think I messaged Daniel afterwards and like, bro, how did you do in that section of the game? And it is, you know, at the moment as we're talking about this, the game, I'm looking at it on Steam and it's, you know, it's under the cost of what a pint is at the moment in London. Do you know what I mean? For now.
I think what indie games have got, I think there still needs to be a breakout moment, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And, you know, indie movies and indie TV shows have had a moment. Like, I think it was like, what was that? Oh, what was that crime drama in the 2009? Was really rainy in Seattle, and then all of a sudden everybody started watching like Scandi Noir, like detective things. I can't remember. It'll come to me, right? But there was like, and all of a sudden, indie style TV shows became massive, and everybody, Hollywood, then started to copy what they were doing, right? Same happened with movies. It was called The Killing. That was it, right? That TV show.
Yeah.
Now I think what games have failed to do over generations, in my opinion, is that indie games have never really been able to crack mainstream audiences so that they get the numbers in to play games as you get in people playing FIFA and Call of Duty and Fortnite and that. There hasn't been, in my opinion, a game that has breached that divide to make people who like casually play one or two games a year or three or whatever think, oh, you know what, I want to explore indie games more, because there's loads of cool shit here, frankly, that I could be enjoying, but I'm not, because I'm just playing COD, Fortnite, FIFA, etc.
They kind of have though, but I think you forget, once they change the landscape, we see them as mainstream, because like the biggest one to do it was Minecraft. That was an indie game, one guy. Yeah. And then now look at it now. It's changed the landscape. There's loads of like games that are like it, that are trying to copy it. But like it's also taken the mainstream. It's got movies.
I mean, you could argue that Fortnite was an indie game, wasn't it, in at one point? PUBG was the same, and they changed. But just in terms of like people's discoverability of like these games that we talk about, like Blueprints, which I've started playing because Geeky Cassie talked about it with us the other day. And I know, Aynel, you've been playing as well, and we'll probably chat about it in the next couple of episodes, right? Like, people are loving that, and it's amazing. It's a mystery game, and it gripped me, and I played for a couple of hours last night. I was like, oh my God, this is fantastic. All my mates should play this. But are casual sort of people who play games going to reach for a title like that? And I don't know why they don't. And in the same amount of numbers as they do in telly and movies. I don't know why.
Do you know what? I hear what you're saying, Steph. And I think, like, it is... You're right. But I do think that some of these smaller games, again, because they haven't got the resource to make a game where you can play it for 50 hours and still be discovering stuff, because they're smaller and more bite-sized, sometimes I feel like they're the perfect gateway into gaming. Like, I know people that, like, I'm not a gamer, but I play Among Us. I'm not a gamer, but I play this. I'm like, yo, you're a gamer, you know? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
You really are. Like, these are real legit games.
Yeah, no, 100%. Well, look, let us know what you think.
Among Us was so fun.
Oh, wasn't it? It was great. I loved Among Us.
We might have to do a Press X Among Us.
Oh, we should.
I'm in.
Press X
you will
Among
see
us.
A different side to me. And Aynel as well. Aynel is evil. I've played these games with Aynel before, right?
A lot of people are going to die.
Yeah. He comes across like a nice fella, but actually he's a cold-hearted killer.
He is... Do you know what? You've just reminded me. I think I can't remember the name of it, but I think we did a charity stream where we played Among Us-like game, and that is an example of how an indie can shift the whole gaming, culture. to be enjoying different things, because it was a game that I believe came off the back of the quality of Among Us and the greatness of Among Us, where we were like finding all of these games, or what do you call the genre again? The cat's got my tongue. What do we call it?
Social, I don't even know.
Is it social deception games?
Social deception.
I didn't believe I was into that kind of game until, you know, Among Us came out. Right. And then I was like, you know what? Well, listen to us all going, look, let's get a game on. Let's do it. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah, 100%. I take your point. And Fall Guys was the same. You know, there are examples, but none of it, in my opinion, once you start playing Fall Guys or you play Among Us, I and maybe it's just anecdotal for the sort of the click through, to use a term that we all probably use in our work, to like other indie games, I think is relatively low. And I'm interested into why games can't make, I've played Among Us. And it's not like a big fancy Hollywood style game, but I really enjoyed it. Why don't I go and find other ones like this? I don't know if that second jump happens much. I could be wrong. But look, the beauty of this section is we want to know what you think. So do you agree what Marcus has got to say? You know what to do. Find us on social media, PressXPod on TikTok and Blue Sky, PressXPodcast on Instagram. Get involved in the Discord channel. Let's chat about this in the Discord, Inel, because I think it's a fascinating conversation.
I think there's going to be a lot of opinions of people listening to
this. I'm jumping in. I'll back my chat. I'll step into that Discord as well. Let's have it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. So look, let us know what you think. We love hearing from you. It's great. So let's see whether you agree or disagree with what Marcus is saying. A couple of other unpopular opinions from the Discord. Next week, we're going to really do a spotlight on unpopular opinions on the Discord. So if there's not many this week, it's because we're going to do a lot more of them next week. Chappers got in touch to say Severance, the TV show, is an unfunny version of the Stanley Parable game, and I will be taking no further questions on this matter.
To be fair, when I first saw the first trailer for Severance, I was like, this is Stanley Parable, isn't it?
Very good, Chappers, and you can do the same. Get your unpopular opinions in the Discord. We love hearing from you. Right, the next tradition on the show, Marcus, is our trivia question. So we're going to dim the lights. We're going to get the music down low for a bit of this.
Who wants to be a continuer?
Okay. Atmospheric.
Very, very much so. Okay, remember, you can get in touch with the Discord if you've got something to test us with. There's a channel that nobody can see apart from the production team. Not even me and Inel have got access to it. We're very pissed off about it, but we move on.
Give me a sneaky look. Give me a sneaky look, please.
You know what? I feel blocked. It's like people are just like submitting stuff into the ether, because they're tapping something and then off it goes, but then nobody knows where.
That's amazing. This was from Matthew in the Discord. There are plenty of film series that have been made into Lego games by now, right? But what was the first video game that the company TT Games wanted to make into a Lego game, but the rights holders pulled the plug? So obviously by now we've got Star Wars, we've had Lord of the Rings, we've had Harry Potter, we've had all of those. But what was the first video game that TT Games wanted to turn into a Lego game, but it got cancelled?
So they wanted to turn a game into a game. So TT, the legends of IP... They can take IP, do it again, and make it Lego. So
make it Lego, So what are we thinking?
I'm so strong, like I know what I'm talking about. I'm going to get this horrendously wrong, but can I just jump in and get it wrong quick, please? Is that all right, guys?
Go for it.
I feel like, did they try and say we're going to do like Lego Mario or something like that?
Okay,
so like someone like Nintendo, because I feel like Nintendo are very no. When they say no, it means no. But TT, they go for big things. Look what they did with Star Wars. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They say, we're going to take this and do it our way. So that's my guess. I don't know whether I'm right or wrong.
You know what? No, Marcus, I was thinking along the same lines. I was thinking Sonic the Hedgehog. I was like, that one could fit it to a T. And I know they haven't done it, but they should have done. They should have done a Shaun of the Dead. I reckon they would have done a fantastic Lego Shaun of the Dead.
Wait, so we've gone Mario, Sonic, then obviously I'm going to have to go for the PlayStation version in this triumvirate from the 90s. Mm. So Nintendo, obviously Mario, Sega, Sonic, PlayStation. In the 90s, it would have been like a Gran Turismo or a Metal Gear. Oh, no, a Lara Croft. No, they wouldn't have made Lara Croft into it. Lego. That wouldn't have worked, would it?
I don't know,
It would have been for kids.
I don't know. Every time someone's told me about a Lego version of a franchise, I've gone, how's that going to work? And you play it and you go, it works.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go Lara Croft then. So we've got Sonic, Mario and Lara Croft. So there we are. We're all covered from our 90s gaming pinups, as it were.
I won't say what I'm going to say.
This is not a smutty podcast, Marcus, okay? despite the attempts of some people to take it in that direction. So a reminder then, what is the first video game that TT Games tried to turn into a Lego game until the rights holders then pulled the plug? We will give you the answer at the end of the show.
Ooh.
So this week, I'm actually going to review something this week, which is which is nice. I'm going to be talking about the new Warzone, because it's rebuilt the Verdansk Warzone. We know, Einar, we talked loads in our first iteration of this podcast about Warzone because it was lockdown. It was the biggest thing in town. Did you play much back then, Marcus?
Yeah, man. Like, honestly, guys, like, I know I've been really, like, excitable and happy, but this is, I'm not being silly and sarcastic here at all. Like, I made actual friends that I have never met in real life to this day, and created bonds in Warzone that I've never thought I would have. Like, you know, there was someone that I played with who we spoke about him proposing to his other half, and it wasn't until I saw the picture of him proposing I realised I'd never seen him before. So, yeah, man.
I love this. I love it. Like, I was there with you.
Hey,
like,
bonding in the gulag.
You know, you know, like, when everyone had, you had that time. This is like, we're talking deep lockdown, right?
Yeah, 2021 vibes. Absolutely.
Every group had their time. Everyone would hop on. If someone wasn't there, you'd be like, oh, you know, where's so-and-so, whatever. Like, it was that kind of like, hey, man, how's it going? How's things? Like, everyone had a catch up. You could, you understood, there was in jokes, there was silly slang, there was everything you had in a group of friends. But yeah, so Warzone for me, like, it holds a very dear place in my heart because I think it helped me to retain a level of sanity in lockdown.
100%. Preach, brother. I'm with you. I totally agree. So I'm going to talk about that because I've been back in Verdansk these last couple of weeks. So we'll talk about that soon. But before that, it also comes at the same time that this report has come out from NewsZoo. They do a lot of the sort of games industry sort of like facts and figures and stuff. And they're suggesting that Battle Royale games are sort of finally starting to lose their grip on the industry amongst players, right? So they've shrunk in playtime from some 19% of all video games played were Battle Royales in 2021, right? So that's one-fifth of all the different genres you can have, one-fifth of us were playing Battle Royales at the time. It's now down to just 12% in 2024. It's on the way down, in other words. Fortnite's still dominating the genre. Do we think that we've seen the end of the Battle Royale phase where it totally dominated the games industry, and if we are, is that a good thing? I don't know what you think.
I think the battle royale genre is here to stay. It's definitely here to stay because there's a lot of people out there just looking at the numbers that still enjoy playing those types of games. But I think the number of battle royale games we're going to get is going to go down, and I think that's a good thing because they take up so much time to play. You have to dedicate like hours and hours to really get the grips and learn the kind of nuances of each title, and everybody just doesn't have that same amount of free time that we had during the pandemic. There was so many. It felt like at one point, every first-person shooter had a Battle Royale mode.
Yeah.
And most of them failed. Like, nobody remembers the Battlefield Battle Royale. Like, there's so many, like, free-to-play kind of Battle Royales that were shut down. And, like, even though we had, like, games like Fall Guys that made, like, such a big impact when it came out, talk about it now and most people are like, I don't play that no more. So it's there's still some strong, like holding strong, obviously Fortnite, the main one, and Call of Duty. But outside of those, unless you get kind of dedicated people where it's like, this is just all I play. And unless you're one of those gamers, then I think Battle Royale is saying goodbye to awesome.
It definitely took a lot of the oxygen in the room, didn't it, for those that big chunk of time, Marcus. And I suppose, like Einar says, it means people can do other stuff because it kind of felt a little bit flat unless you had a Battle Royale mode. Like, even Forza, I love Forza the racing game, even Forza had a Battle Royale mode. I love the boys who make Forza. I've been to the studio, it's great, but like, come on, lads.
Do you know what? Do you not think it might just be a reflection of the time that we have now? Like, we all nodded heads and said, yeah, when, like, would you say 2021 is when those numbers came in?
Yeah, 2021 was when it was like, you know, 20%, basically 19% of gamers were playing Battle Royale games.
Yeah, man. I think one thing with Battle Royale games, and this might be personal to me, so if it is, you guys feel free to let me know, but like, they require a level of playtime to get up there. Do you know what I mean? I feel like the learning curve is probably not the best way of saying it, but it's a long learning curve, isn't it? You might play for a long time till you get that one victory, but when you get that victory, the victory is sweet.
Oh.
But you need... Whoa! Something. Mm. I know for those of you that listen, that think of that first dub that you got. Yeah, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it right now. Stefan Broken. We can remember it.
I'm getting a screenshot.
I can feel it.
You remember thrusting that fist into the air triumphantly, saying, "I am number one."
Oh, clip that. Save it.
You wait for that cutscene.
Everybody,
wait for that cutscene of you and your gang. Yeah.
Oh, screenshot.
With your guns, all your special guns. You take pictures of it. Stefan's going for a picture in there.
I'm looking for it right now.
He's looking for the right one because he's got so many. But you remember that. Took so long. It takes quite a while to get there. And I think some people want a bit more of a reward when they're playing. So, for example, now, if I've only got an hour of time and I'm jumping into COD, I might only be playing a Nuketown for a little bit. Do you know what I mean? I might be doing that instead. I might be shifting to another style of game where I can get in and get out, and where it's like lots of quick rounds instead of these lengthier rounds where, you know, there's like I just said, there's big ups and big downs. So maybe it's a time thing, you know.
Plus, it's the battle passes. You've got to get through those battle passes.
And I think we'll come on to my review of Warzone in a sec, but like, you know, there is an aggressive, because they're free to play, there is an aggressive sell. And I wondered if people are just a little bit tired of that, because those people who did get into games in that period, I think they maybe have moved on to try other things and taken the elements of Battle Royale that they like. Maybe it was the multiplayer option. Maybe it was the way that the characters progressed, or maybe it was whatever element of the game.
Maybe the community.
Maybe it's the community. And then you've ended up going off in different directions. And we don't have that appointment to view gaming anymore. Like you have appointment to view telly. There was appointment to view gaming, like Marcus was saying. It was 9 o'clock.
Yep.
You're logging on with you guys and gals.
You know who's there. You already know who's on there.
The WhatsApp message was already sent 2 hours earlier.
Yeah. Come on.
Saying, I'm on. There's an update today. Don't forget the update. Make sure you've got the update.
The update WhatsApp. God bless that person.
You got to say to your mate, you know, there's one of you. You know you've got slow internet. Get that on now. Because if you don't, you won't be on until tomorrow, mate.
9 a.m. In the morning. Don't forget.
Buy your cable, for God's sake.
Bro, why is it wireless?
Sort your headset out, man. Have you got that new headset yet? Come on, man.
Because I think like the reason that Fortnite is still, you know, doing so well, I think it's largely not really because of the game, not because of the experience anymore. It's all the other stuff that comes along with it. It's a place where people hang out. It's a place where you see gigs. It's a place where you get the new skin. It's a different beast, I think, than other games. And you look... Remember Apex Legends was big? What happened to that? You know, PUBG was... I made a doc. They flew me to Korea to make a documentary on PUBG, you know? and so some of these games, you know, Tetris 99, that was quite fun, mate. Even GTA had a Battle Royale mode. I think, like Aina said, it's good because there is something about that experience that's amazing, but I don't think it needs to be the only thing that companies make a lot of effort into. And so hopefully off the back of this, we'll see some other jazzy stuff. And I wonder actually what comes next is more co-op play. I know you've been playing Split Fiction, Marcus, and you're going to hold those thoughts until our next step.
Oh, yeah.
But like, you've seen a lot more of those sort of co-op-y type things, and I wonder if that's going to be the next trend that we see. I don't know if you agree.
I think maybe we will just see a dissipation. I mean, I'm never going to guess. Like, who knows where we're going to go? Like, the one thing I learned about gaming is you think it's going to go one way, and it goes another. Like, for example, if you told me at the end of 2019 that, you know, in approximately 6 months' time, I was going to be putting hundreds of hours a week into COD, I'd have told you, no, come on, man, like maybe 10, whatever. So I can't even begin to guess. But I can see there is, I think you're right there, Steph. I think there's a level of multiplayer people are enjoying, whether it's like I said before, Among Us, where, you know, you've got, you know, you've not got the same amount of people as you've got in COD, or you've got a co-op game, or maybe you've got a story-based game with some strong IP where you can play with a friend and complete games. I think that I would personally, as you're going to hear when I talk about Split Fiction, I'm a big fan of co-op, and I would love to see more of that. That's something that is always something I think about when there's a brand new game. So when a new game comes out, I do check to see if there is multiplayer all the time, especially if it's new IP. It's something that's of genuine interest to me, and it could be if I had a choice between A and B, And the thing that might push me in one way might be the option for multiplayer with games.
Yeah. A little tease for you there for next week's pod where Marcus is going to be talking about Split Fiction. And there's like an esports element to this, but I think that deserves its own discussion.
Yes, separately,
actually, I know. So maybe we'll hold that back for another time. right, okay. So before we get into that review then of the new... well, it's not new. It's Warzone 2.0, but they brought Verdansk back, the original map, and people are going crazy about it online. Before we get into that review, let's have a little update, shall we, on what's the latest with GTA 6. Over to you, Cammy. What's new?
The Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
There's no f***ing news. There's absolutely f*** all. No news. Nothing. F***ing news. Absolutely nothing. F***ing... Just give me some f***ing...
That was the Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Right, okay then. So, obviously, stay posted for those GTA 6 updates. We will keep you in the loop here on Press X to continue. Right then, so it is time for a review. Let us know what you think about this, of course, in the Discord or on our socials, Press X Pod, TikTok, Blue Sky, Press X Podcast on Instagram. The return of Verdansk to Call of Duty Warzone 2.0. So, like, you know, I mean, no point setting too much of the scene because we've just been talking about Battle Royale games. You know, this was my lockdown jam, like Marcus, this, you know, I'm not going to say it saved me in lockdown, but it was a massive help as to how I got through that period of life, you know, relatively, touch wood, luckily unscathed. So you had this fictional Eastern European city. You know, we all know that those of us have played, we'll just remember these places, don't we? We remember stadium. We remember prison.
Yeah.
We remember military base.
Stadium.
Broken aeroplane. Stadium. Broken aeroplane. Don't forget that, man.
Yeah, right?
Come on. You know?
Hot, we all had our in spaces. Stadium. Yeah, oh, we did. I used to play with Simon Cardi, who was from IGN, who's been on the podcast with us before. And the people who played with him, we encouraged him to write an article for actual IGN website that was called The Best Roofs in Verdansk, which was a top 10 of the best roofs you could hang out and snipe from. If that's how deep we were in, right? We were in. But then since the original map of Verdansk went to a place called Caldera, then they introduced Rebirth Island, or it might be the other way around. Then it was a place that looked very similar to Uzbekistan, but it wasn't Uzbekistan. It was another made-up city. And then they brought back Verdansk to try and boost the game again. And so I've been playing it, and I think my thought is, it's a really weird emotion, because when I first dropped in and played with the boys again, it had been years since we'd done that. James and his mate Ben and I, the three of us, got in there, and it was like transporting back 4 years. It was an amazing sensation. Oh my god, it felt like yesterday, but also felt new. But, and you know, the gunplay is great, the movement's excellent, all of those things. It looks pretty brilliant. But in the end, ultimately, I just think I felt a little bit hollow playing it. A little bit like, you know what, this is nice. This has been like, for one little blast, it's like if you could go and relive your early 20s again, would you want to do it? Probably not. But you want to go for one night out again.
One night
Or just one night only, you know, to remember
maybe
what
two,
it was
maybe
like.
Maybe two.
And, and I just felt like it was brilliant, and I've enjoyed it, and there was an adrenaline rush. We got a win. That's why I was trying to find I filmed the screen, you know. I posted a headshot on my Instagram stories, you know. I was in.
Come on.
But I think, like, you know, come on. But I just felt ultimately a bit like It reminded me of a time and a place. It gave me a warm, fuzzy feeling for a bit. But what it didn't do is exactly what you were saying, Marcus. It didn't inspire me to want to grind again. It didn't make me think, I want to level up my AK-47 or the XM4 or whatever I use.
What was missing?
I think because you know what it takes to have... a couple of things they have done that made it easier. They've introduced a casual mode, which is excellent. Right? So some bots, some low-level players, that's a really clever move. Because what you don't want to be is in a sweaty lobby where you're just getting absolutely blown away.
That was tough. Do you remember the first couple rounds where you didn't know what was going on?
I can't finish on that game. One more. I can't finish on that.
Yeah, that was it. That's what hooks you in it.
You can't finish on that.
One more.
Yeah, one more.
End up in the gulag within 2 minutes. Nah, that was mad. Yeah, go on.
Because you know people are grinding it, and you know there are people there who are amazing, and they've got skins that change colour and look like a dragon and are on fire and all that sort of stuff. You're like, oh God, that is someone who knows how to shoot. And I just think because you know what it takes to get there, you know the hours it takes.
Do you know what? I think we can kind of get back there. Not necessarily just COD, but I was thinking this about the Nintendo Switch 2, because obviously we're going to get a lot of some of these battle royales are going to make it there in the future. But I was also thinking about the game chat, and like that can actually be really useful for, like, say we're playing some Warzone, we can see each other's screens. Because do you remember back when the Xbox 360 came out, there was a game called Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter.
Yeah.
At the top of the screen, you could always see what your squad mate was doing. And so when you ordered them to go somewhere around the corner, you can see them around the corner on the block on their first-person viewpoint. Game chat can do that. But now, if we're playing multiplayer, obviously rudimentarily, but we'll be able to see where each other are when we're squadding up. Say, hey, Stefan, go around the left-hand side of the building. I can see Steph's going around the left. I can see his gameplay. And I was thinking maybe that might help to bring people back to that kind of community-driven kind of gameplay in the future in a way that they were not necessarily associating with Nintendo.
Because the game felt just as fun, if not funner, than it did before.
Mm.
But I don't know if it just made me miss it. Like, you know,
you miss the old days.
Never go back to an ex. Do you know what I mean?
He said, I can't go back to Verdansk. I can't go back in.
Who told you Press X to Continue was just about gaming? This is real life advice we're getting here. Come on.
Can't go back to Verdansk.
Because it's never quite the same, is it?
Oh, you remember why you left eventually. You remembered why you left.
He saw that rooftop again. Oh, that
first thing I did, though, I went back to all my old haunts. I went back to
you did.
Big and tall building in the middle of downtown. Went there.
It's not the same, though, was it?
There's a tall building on the side of Promenade that you could really mine up. And if you had some snipers, you could have a happy old time there. But look, I think I will still keep playing, because a couple of the boys who sort of lapsed a little bit, haven't played as much.
I think we've come to the root of the problem.
I think there was just, I just had a sort of a hollow feeling. It's good, but it didn't make me want to think, all right, I'm going to, if anything, it made me do what Marcus was saying. It made me think, I really enjoyed the gunplay. I'm enjoying the movement. I'm enjoying the satisfaction that gives you. I should be playing multiplayer, maybe. You know, because I don't know. But anyway, so I found it really interesting going back to it. I still will keep playing, I think, but it hasn't got its claws in me like it once did.
It's not the same.
Yeah. So yeah, look, let us know what you think of Warzone going back to Verdansk. Did you have that? I mean, mind you, when we first got in that plane, it was there.
Who picked the drop? Who picked the drop out of your team?
James picked the drop. We went to the quietest place we could get.
First game back.
I'm just gonna
edge of the map.
Yeah. You snap back into it, though, bang, and let me get that recon. You get the recon, right, okay, all that stuff, amazing. Metacritic score of 79, but doesn't really count because it's not really looking at Verdansk specifically. I think you should try it if you loved it, like Marcus and myself did back in the day. I know we played together as well. If you dabbled, then I think it's definitely worth having another little flutter just to see if it makes you feel, if it puts the butterflies in your stomach like it did back in the day. It's free, so why not give it a go?
Quick, but let us know. Question, Steph.
Yeah.
Great question, Steph. Are all of the boxes, like, is everything in the same place? Like, guns, ammo, all that kind
pretty
of
much.
Stuff?
Pretty
like, okay.
Pretty much, it's, okay. It's all the same. I think there's a couple of other little things that they've put in there that I haven't had a chance to see because I've only played, you know, a handful of hours of it.
Cool.
But broadly speaking,
oh, nice.
It's the same old jam, just looks a bit shinier. Yeah, look, let us know what you think of that, you know, to do. Find us on social or get involved in the Discord. So, talking about sort of remakes of older games, I suppose, if you will, not that Warzone is especially old, but plenty of games from previous generations we know have been given a new lease of life for a remake. We've talked about Final Fantasy in the past. Mm. We know that this week Elder Scrolls Oblivion was just shadow dropped. Boom!
Just like that.
No,
massive album. Beyonce. There you go.
Dropping albums in.
Yeah.
Okay.
And either, marketing.
Okay. No marketing. You don't need marketing. The amount of number of people playing that. Either you have been talking about this for time.
This is it. This is exactly how I like my releases, and it's working for them. Well done, Bethesda. Well done. Oblivion is an absolutely fantastic game. That's the first. Well, it's not the first. I did play Morrowind, but like Oblivion was where it got the hooks into me. I was like, yeah, Sean Bean doing some voiceover in it. Fantastic. What? Way before Game of Thrones.
And yeah. Then... hey, I noticed Patrick Stewart did the voiceover for the trailer that drops. Like, yeah. Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
See what
absolutely
I'm talking
legend.
About.
Absolutely.
So look, the question is for this episode then, I've just been put in charge of a studio, okay, that's going to remake one old game. Cash, mm-hmm. No object.
Jeez.
It's just got to be fun. You get to pick the game and you've got to convince me why it should be remade. Let's start with you, Marcus. What do you want to remake?
I'm hoping to get some support from INL and even you, even though you're running the studio here. So,
Yeah.
Allow me to open my presentation for you, right? And you're going to hear a blazing bass line. Yeah, as part of my presentation.
Okay.
You're going to see a logo drop down from the top of the screen. And it's going to say Def Jam, Fight for New York 2025. Bigger roster. More rappers. More special moves. The soundtrack out of this world. Come on. Tell me that is not going to be an amazing game.
Oh, I'm there. It's Snoop Dogg's studio in Boston.
Snoop is still the boss. Well, you know what? You know what? They might. You know, Kendrick might have to be a boss in it after a year.
You could play Kendrick Drake out in the video game version.
It's in my notes. It's in my notes for this. I took this so when I started writing this down. This is what I like. I know we're getting buy-in. I think we're getting this. I think we're getting this off the ground.
Yeah.
So yeah. In all seriousness, I've not seen. In my life of fighting, because there are other fighting games that have had, you know, amazing rappers in. You know, let's not forget what Wu-Tang have brought to the game.
Wu-Tang Clan.
But in terms of exactly amazing. But in terms of, I'm just imagining if you got today's rappers, because this is where I need your money. All right, this is where I need your money is because to get all of these rappers together, and you know, getting their likeness, getting their IP, getting their tracks, getting their special moves would be such a task. But oh my gosh, how amazing would that be? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, money. I said money's no object. Money's no object. Wow. So pay them all a mil. You know, get their likeness on.
They're gonna want more than that, mate. But you know what? Yeah.
Hey, that's a win. Give them the money.
But, you know, I'd love to see. I'd love to see people that we didn't see in the original game that almost made it. Like 50 Cent, apparently, though, he was supposed to be in it, but he never quite made one of the games because of you know obvious licensing issues and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you know, let's see Method and Redman come back. Redman come back. Sorry, was that I know?
He made his own game.
There you go. Made his own game. Yeah, which was it was cool, man. But I'd love to see it. I'd want to see us getting the team in from Mortal Kombat to give us these finishers. I want to see more blood in it. I would love the fatalities, and I'm just thinking the soundtrack would be absolutely amazing. Money's no object. Let's get Pharrell in the cut. Do you know what I mean? Let's get Ferrari in the car. Wow. We know he can, you know, he can do anything. He can do happy movies. He can do a Lego movie. He can do hip hop still. So let's bring him back into the mix. Let's see everyone's favorite rapper. And check this, right? If you want to look at the roadmap, right? Let's get a UK DLC.
Oh,
what?
Nice.
Come on! a UK DLC.
Yo, Stormzy
on the front cover.
Thought about this properly.
Stormzy in his stab vest from Glastonbury on the front cover.
There we go. In the gilet from. There we go. We got that. And then also, let's not forget, money's no object. Yeah, so we can go for people that have worked with the likes of Stormzy. So we could have a special character. We could have Ed Sheeran in there. Imagine a finisher with his guitar. All right.
Wow. Yeah, you're right.
Come on.
You're right.
I'm buying this game. I'm paying more than £100.
Marcus, it sells itself.
It does.
To be fair, that's a great shout, and I feel
I've got nothing. No. I've got nothing on that.
I don't even want to read out the one I wrote down.
No.
Marcus, we give it to you, mate. You've taken all the money in the world.
Give him the money, man.
Yeah, well done. And me and I now will take 12% of everything it makes. So, I mean, that's a banger. Would you buy Marcus's game? Let us know on social media. We all know the answer. It's a big yes.
Also, what characters would you put in, man? I want to know. What's the finishing moves?
See, I think what you could do, if you were going to be smart, right, and especially to try and like broaden the appeal of it to, like, you know, people like games companies like broadening appeal to different demographics. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'd open it up from broaden it away from just the rap scene.
Of course.
Imagine Kendrick versus Taylor Swift.
Come on.
With
their song playing in the background.
This is what I'm saying.
Come on.
Right? You've turned it into Celebrity Deathmatch.
There we go. Well, yeah, I'm evolving it. Yeah.
Celebrity Deathmatch.
Right? Imagine it. But I think I like having the music theme. You know, it's got a thread, a storytelling thread you can sort of tug on a little bit.
Oh, you can make it like a roguelike. You can make your own rapper go through the ranks.
Of course. And you could pick your own entrance, your own special, I'm getting so excited.
Just like WWE.
Can we add a little bit more? Also, like Mortal Kombat, we can grab people from other IPs, other franchises. You can have people making a little random, appearance. Pick your favourite actor who wants to come in and get involved. I'd love that. DLC. Idris Elba as a DLC. Come on!
He's a DJ. He can do it.
Yeah,
I like that track you did a few years ago. But look, we're talking about Warzone earlier. Look, you can be a bloody turtle in Warzone now.
Yeah, there you go. Let's get it on. You're right. So there.
Apparently, he writes his own words as well, isn't he?
There you go. Nice.
Anyway,
I just love it. You could be a Ninja Turtle in Warzone now.
I love that, man. I think the first time I saw it was on that. You know the super sweaty level, because I've honestly not really played as much outside of Nuketown. But there's the train. What's it? Is it called Train? The level where it's just you're on a train. But I've seen like the Ninja Turtles just absolutely whooping everyone's ass.
Yeah,
on that train, they're dancing on top of the carriage, doing their like little moves. It's wicked.
I was like, people are terrorizing out here.
Let us know what you think of Marcus's idea. Are we on to something? Who's got the money that can maybe make it? Screw this. Is someone out there? Are you a bazillionaire? Let's go make this game. It'll be fun. Let us know what you think on social media. Now, maybe Rockstar can do it. You know, if they can have enough cash off GTA.
They got the dough, but it just won't come out till 2036. So.
yeah, it's true. We went out now, actually, so maybe not you.
All the artists would be dead.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to bring the mood down right now.
Oh my god, we could have legacy characters!
Oh
my god, Biggie Smalls in the middle! Oh, come on! It's getting better and better!
Biggie Smalls
versus Tupac! Oh, come on!
Biggie Smalls versus the Beatles!
Oh, come on! Oh, it gets better and better! Make the game! Make it! John Lennon's finishing move. Come on. Ringo start whipping a man with drumsticks. Come on.
Oh, no, comes out.
Yeah. And then afterwards they're like, yellow submarine, yellow submarine. Come on.
Make it, you cowards.
Oasis versus Blur. Let's get busy. I'm going too far. Sorry.
Wow. Yeah, that'd be great. I think
we're on to something. Well, I mean, how do we follow that? I kind of feel like we should just say thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. But just quickly, so we add songs to our Spotify playlist. I put some new ones on there recently.
Hey.
I've been getting a lot of pushback. I put some new ones on there. It's a banging playlist. Some extra suggestions. We've got Danny on the Discord who says, Cycle from the Streets of Rage 3 soundtrack. Now, Danny, I'm not... Not as a cross Streets of Rage. And we have got a Streets of Rage track on there. We haven't got Streets of Rage 3, so maybe I'll go and have a little listen to that. Blue Boo once, Whirling in Rags from Disco Elysium. Very moody playlist, that, isn't it? So maybe I'll go and have a listen to that as well. Ooh. Any songs, any gaming soundtracks we should have on our Ultimate Games playlist?
I'm going to absolutely mess this up because I've wrote it down, but I can't find my note on it because I always get this wrong. But I love Streets of Rage, yeah. So there is, I think it's called Fighting in the Street. I think it's called Fighting in the Street. That's the first one that goes, at the start, you just hear someone going like, huh, 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 in the background. It just really gets you into it, right? So there's that. And also, I looked at your playlist and I thought, I'm a bit upset that no one's picked this yet. But the Mortal Kombat theme. From the movies.
Nobody's even shouted it. Nobody's even mentioned it.
And I was like, that's got to be on there because that is one of the songs that like gets me going absolutely crazy. By the Immortals, it is known as Techno Syndrome or the Mortal Kombat theme. But when I hear that's
gym music.
Oh my gosh. I'm trying not to give you a DMCA strike. But when you hear that, like, are you ready? Oh my gosh. It makes me want to start throwing fireballs, and I can't. So
it's a strong shot. And there's a section of the place as well, which is like songs that get you going a bit. So maybe it can slot in there.
Nice. That's Stefan playing with the mood right there.
There's some lovely stuff on there.
You've got to take them on a journey, Marcus. We start high, then we dip the energy down, then we bring it back up again, and then we sort of tail off into some moody stuff at the end.
There's some cinematic stuff on there. It's absolutely wonderful.
Literally finishes with Journey.
There you go. Yeah, man. Slap that Mortal Kombat in there, bruv.
As producer David's just pointed out, the single most curated playlist of all time.
Do you know what it should have? It should have like an update log and say how many times it's been updated.
So you can find it as well. Search Spotify for the Press X to Continue Ultimate Gaming Playlist. And it's there because it is ultimate and it is a gaming playlist. Now, we're going to finish up the episode with the answer to our trivia question, which came from Matthew. What was the first video game the TT Games tried to turn into a Lego version? You went Mario, Marcus. I know you said Sonic. I said Lara Croft to sort of complete the triumph for it, Nintendo, Sega, PlayStation.
Yeah.
And the answer is... Oh,
is it one of them?
One of us has got it right.
No!
Is it?
All right, go on.
Hello. The answer is...
Yeah.
Tomb Raider. Come on!
Was it really?
Yeah.
There
was originally going to be a crossover game between Tomb Raider and Indiana Jones because they didn't think Tomb Raider was a big enough property to justify a standalone game. They went to LucasArts, who held the rights to Indiana Jones, but they shut down the project because they felt like Lara Croft was just a rip-off of Indiana Jones. So instead, we got Lego Indiana Jones in 2008 and no Lara Croft. So yeah, it was Tomb Raider.
Wow.
That's an awesome question.
I still want to see that game.
Awesome question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see that as well.
Make it now, TT. Thank you very much, Matthew, for your question. You can do the same.
Great question,
Matthew.
You can
submit your questions on our Discord. Right, that is it for this episode of Press X to Continue. Keep up messages. Keep up the love on social. We really, really, really appreciate it. And get involved in the Discord as well. And we're going to have another retro episode for you on Thursday. That's where we show our back catalogue to you on new podcast platforms that they've never been on before. And then we're going to be back next Tuesday for some more fun. So we will see you then. And Marcus, you're going to be doing Spit Fiction, aren't you, next week?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
See ya.